Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
Welcome to the Rooted Deep podcast. And man, this is the week of Easter. And we have been on our podcast. We've been leading up to this. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about these wonderful, amazing parables that Jesus taught in the last few weeks of his life as he was preparing his people. And he was giving these last messages of come, follow me, serve me. It's going to be so worth it. And we've talked about so many things, Allison, and I think it's been really great over the last 2 weeks. Great reminders, just turning our hearts. And I know that you told us in the very first podcast that you're doing a version of Lent for yourself. No sugar, no wheat, all those great things. So I have to know, how's it going?
I feel like it's going well. Okay. I'm sad and unhappy. I'm just kidding. No, but you know, the closer we get to Easter, the more opportunities we have to be eating those like Reese's Easter eggs all of the Easter candy that I'm, and so can't preparing help. That it's just not going to happen until actually it. And in the Dominican, on Easter, all Easter week, the Dominicans prepare something called habichuelas con dulce, which is called.
Say it again.
Habichuelas con dulce.
Okay. I'm not even going to touch it, but you go right ahead.
It's sweet beans. And it's actually, if you hear how it's made, you're like, and so I feel like the word sweet beans just kind of throws everybody off, but it is the most amazing concoction of, it's a smooth, creamy, it's made out of red beans that are soaked with sweet potatoes and sugar and coconut milk and cinnamon and cloves. And it's blended, and strained until whether it's just kind of this smooth, almost like a hot chocolate consistency. And then it's sweet and it's very good. And it's always on Easter Sun. It's always on Easter. And then they serve it with these little Easter crackers that have a little cross at the top. So they're kind of floating. And then you've got, Americans usually turn their nose up to it. And it takes them a few years to just, if we just say it's just Easter drink, they would like it. But because we say it's almost like eggnog. If you know you're drinking eggs, it's gross. But if somebody just says, here's a Christmas beverage, everybody would love it, right? It's the same thing with here's an Easter beverage. We're not going to tell you that it's made out of beans and you're going to love it. And it's really, it is. And so everybody that I told, I'm going to observe Lent. I'm not going to have any sugar. All of the Dominicans were like, what about sweet beans? And I was like, not until Easter Sunday. So that I have just a couple more days and then I can have sweet beans. And,
absolutely.
An Easter egg, a Reese's Easter egg.
Sure. So you've probably got Phil Wickham's song on repeat that Sunday's coming, right?
Sunday's coming. Yes. I'm sitting on Saturday right now. The preparation of just understanding and the whole point of this was just to prepare our hearts, right?
Yes,
to prepare
that's right.
our
yep,
minds
exactly.
and our hearts and do things. And that's the thing that I always do with Lent is just there's something every day that will continually point my heart toward Easter. And so for 40 days, there's something, whether it's my lack of social media on my devices or whether it's the different style of eating right now, there has been something that daily for the last 40 days is pointing my heart and my mind and my body toward a proper and a reverent observation of what Resurrection Sunday is. And it's more than just sweet beans and Easter candy, right?
Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah, I love that. And we, you know, we encouraged our listeners just the other week to maybe step into it this week. So we encourage them maybe to start on Sunday, which was just a few days ago, and walk into it this week. So if you've joined us in that process, good for you. And whatever it is, maybe let us know what you did, what you chose to do. That's always great and interesting for us. But as we get here, this is the moment we've been waiting for. And, you know, I love all of the great songs that surround this season, but I have to say that one of my favorite new songs that had come out a couple of years ago was that Phil Wickham song, you know, Friday's Good. because Sunday's coming.
Yeah.
And man, I just put that song on repeat because there's nothing about Friday that was good unless you understood the why behind it. I mean, the awfulness of what we step through this week as we take the timeline of Jesus' life and we lay it against this week. And as we think about Thursday, Maundy Thursday is often celebrated as a reflection on the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples. And he sees, you know, last hours, last words, last lessons. And it's some of our favorite. I know you and I share this, that John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 passage is some of our favorite passages in scripture. Me so much, I wrote a Bible study called Gravel Road Growth that was just about that section of scripture. But I mean, just these, as Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room and he's washing their feet and he is teaching them the lessons and he points out that he's leaving and someone's going to betray him. Peter's going to deny him. And I mean, this is just a lot of heavy things that happen in this room. And then in the middle of that, he's going, don't let your heart be troubled. because it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You know, and that's what Jesus is trying to let these disciples know. It's going to be okay. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously then they step to the garden and you've got Jesus sweating great drops of blood as he's praying and just begging God, if there is another way, if there's any other way, then let this cup pass. And then we have Judas entering the garden, the scuffle, Peter cuts a guy's ear off.
Chaos.
Jesus surrenders himself to these, to this militia, really, for all practical purposes. He surrenders himself to them, puts the guy's ear back on, which would have just been, you know, if I was a soldier in that moment, I'm going like, what are we doing? Why are we messing with this guy? But you know, he does all of this. And then we understand that he's taken to a trial that is illegal in every way. It's happening at nighttime. It's happening in private. Everything about it is illegal according to Jewish law. So there is this illegal trial that's going on and we're watching all of these things begin to happen and unfold. Peter denies the Lord at the fire. Jesus lays eyes on him. I mean, this whole thing is just unraveling. And as we walk through, these hours and we walk through these moments, and then we understand Pilate washes his hands of him, turns him over to be crucified. Jesus carries scourged, carries the cross. And then we see that Jesus is nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
And all the disciples, except for we see John and a handful of women at the cross. And Jesus breathes his last breath. He says, it's finished. The temple and the veil of the temple rents from top to bottom. I mean, everything is just, something is changed forever in the world because of this moment. And then we have his followers quickly getting him off of the cross and wrapping him up quickly, before Sabbath starts. So that they don't violate Sabbath. They've got to quickly get him off the cross. They've got to wrap him up quickly. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. We know Joseph of Arimathea donated his tomb. He put him in a borrowed tomb. And everybody's plan was, as soon as Sabbath is over with, we'll come back and we'll properly anoint the body of Jesus. And we'll properly grieve and we'll properly mourn. But right now we can do none of that because we're going to violate Sabbath. So they're all hustling away. And then you've got, I can't even imagine, Allison, what that Sabbath day must have been like for Jesus's followers.
Right. It's just, I mean, just after so much chaos and so much pain and anger, because like you said, this was all done and then all done hastily and horribly wrong and against, you know, and they still are so, you know, with their traditions, they knew it's not supposed to be this way. They know they in their minds and hearts. And so all the, you know how you get this chaos. And then all of a sudden, now what? And then everything's just quiet. There's just, you know, and a friend of mine, and she's actually been on the podcast before. Joey has talked about sitting in that Saturday. And that's just, it's gotta be the longest Saturday of in the world, the longest Sabbath of just what just happened and how do we go forward and trying to also plan. We still have stuff to do, but we don't even know what it's gonna be. And Peter's like, I'm just gonna go fishing. I don't know what else to do. There's so many things that there's so many questions up in the air and so many unanswered questions. And then they're looking at one another, just not even knowing. And you can't, the Sabbath is for rest, but I doubt anybody was able to rest at that moment because it's like, what?
Yeah, I think it was
It's
for
not.
mourning that, I mean, I can't
Yeah,
imagine the
definitely
grief
morning.
and the mourning
Yeah.
and the overwhelming of everyone that
Yeah.
is gathered together trying to figure out, like you said, how to go forward.
Yeah.
But then the sun comes up on a
Yeah.
sunny
On
morning.
Sunday. Yeah.
And as soon as that sun comes up, that's the break of Sabbath.
Right.
And so you get, man, you get the women, you get Mary, who we know she takes off. And she rushes to get to the tomb.
And
And
I again, let's talk about women for a minute
let's
because
do it. You know, we love talking about women, right?
I'm sorry, but even in what do you see at any funeral, at any
Yeah.
mourning time, what do women do? Women, especially women in the South, I mean, as soon as we hear somebody's died or sick,
Oh, we're cooking food, we're
we're cooking
serving, right?
food. We're cleaning. I mean, I cleaned out, I don't know how many times I'm like, oh, somebody died in this house. I'm gonna go clean out their fridge because they're just about to get a whole bunch of, casseroles, and this freezes beautifully, and this will be fine, for when the family don't want to eat anything. And so that is what we do. And so I just think it's fascinating. And God has created us this way to even in our mourning and even in our questioning and concern and not knowing what to do, there's still things that have to be done. And for Mary and all of the women, they're like, we're sad, but we still have a job to do. We still
Yeah,
have to go.
we got to go embalm that body. We've
We've
got
got
to
to go
go.
embalm
We've
that
got to,
body.
yeah,
There's
we've got to go do this right because we didn't do it
right.
right, earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's so crazy to me, and I love this, Allison, too, is that, Mary Magdalene, she's up. Who knows? Like, I mean, I bet she's laying there waiting on that first crack of that
Right.
first
She
ray
hasn't
of
slept.
sunlight. And
Yes.
I bet she's ready already. And the
Right.
minute it pokes that sun, pokes his head up enough to say, yes, Sabbath is officially canceled. She's sprinting towards this tomb because she hasn't been able, I think in so many ways, she hasn't been able to say goodbye. She hasn't been able to get there. And the Jewish tradition, they had mourners and they had all kinds of people at the tomb and for days, and none of this has happened. And so in John 20, we see her story and she's weeping outside of the tomb. And then what I just again, I don't know, but I have to ask us all. We have to pause in this to say, what do you think it would feel like to have stood at the cross and watched Jesus be crucified? To have watched them lower his body down off that cross, that limp and beaten, and hardly, the Bible says he was not even recognizable. That body that came off that cross was not even recognizable as the guy that you've sat with and fellowship with and that did the miracles. And now it's just this lifeless body. And you watch Joseph and the people and you wrap him up really quick and your heart is breaking and you throw him in a borrowed tomb. And what it would be like for that to be your last appearance of him in your mind. That's the last thing you saw of him. And then all of a sudden, you are, the Bible says in verse 11 that she's standing outside the tomb and she's weeping. And she stooped and she looked into the tomb because obviously we know the stone was rolled away. And suddenly she sees something is not quite right. And we understand that she comes to the tomb. The Bible says it's still dark. She sees the stones already removed from the tomb. And what does she do? I mean, I love this. Her first thing is that she runs, that in John's telling, she runs and she gets the disciples, but we know that Jesus actually appeared to her and she thought he was the gardener. And and she doesn't recognize him. And she's like, excuse me, sir, gardener, do you
There's a
know what they
mistake.
did with his body?
Yeah. Just
And
tell me where it is. I'll go get it. I'll put it back where it's supposed to be.
And Jesus calls her name. And when he calls her name, she knows who he is. And I just think it's such a powerful story as you get this moment where he vanishes and she's running back and she's telling everybody, get up, get out. You're not going to believe this. He's alive. Mm-hmm. I've seen him. He's alive. Yeah. And I can't even imagine that her overwhelming. In fact, she said she falls at his feet. She's grabbing for him. And he's like, Mary, 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 you can't hug me like this yet. You know? And man, what an incredible first appearance that Jesus appears, as you said, to this woman mm-hmm. who he had delivered from so much pain and sorrow. Right. And that he, you know, it's this emotional moment. I can't even imagine the emotion she must be feeling at this thing, you know?
Right. I mean, from, you know, ups and downs. I mean, this is the greatest roller coaster in the, you know, in the history of the world. Right. Because again, the intense pain, the intense confusion, the chaos, the disappointment, and then all of a sudden it's all wiped away with he's here and he knows me and I know him, but then also, and now what, you know,
he
disappears again. Like, can you please stop that? Would you please just stay in one place for just a minute and let's get our head wrapped around what's going on, and then going and finding the disciples, especially Peter. Cause he's like, yeah, go tell Peter this, you know, go tell him, especially him, that I'm around. And they were running, you know, and running back and checking, you know, checking what happened, because sooner or later, all of his teachings, and especially these things, you know, his last few teachings are going to be hopefully coming through their minds going, wait a minute. He did say this was going to happen. He told us he was going to die, but he also said, you know, and so he now we're again. In it, and he did promise this. So this is what it looks like. So it really, you know, and he's Jesus has had to constantly bring them along, you know, limping. Yeah. And
like he does us, right?
Like he does us constantly. He's like, I know you said you would, but you know, I'm still surprised, right? And so I think this is a beautiful moment of these moments, and I love that her wanting to cling to him and hold him here, and he's like, now things have changed. I can't stay here. It's not like I'm raising. Not like I rose from the dead to continue the same way we were. This is the start of something new, and we're going to talk about that, you know, just in a few minutes, because people constantly throughout the 40 days after he raised, people are constantly wanting to hold him and constrain him to stay, you know,
and wouldn't we all, right?
Yeah, you know, of course. Yeah.
You know, don't, you know, we would so want him to stay.
Oh, good. You're back. Okay. Sit down. Let's have a meal. Let's continue on the way we were. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Is it time to rule and reign now? You know? Yeah. right. And yet Jesus has got bigger plans, and you and I are that bigger plan. And I don't want us to miss this, you know, Allison, what a joy, because Jesus said, no, my work is not done yet. Yeah. There's many more to come. And you and I were two of those many more who came, and there'll be many more after us. And so, you know, the incredible thought behind this is that sometimes we can just see in the moment, but Jesus sees beyond the moment, and he sees the power of the choices we make today affecting the future and his choices. And so, man, the cross was not about a moment. The cross was about eternity for me and you, and for so many people that he died to save. The resurrection was about providing that way. If Jesus could raise the dead, then that means he can raise us, not only from physical death to a new life, but also spiritual death to a new life. So there's so much symbolism in all of this stuff, not just the reality that Jesus rose, but it was important that he rose. If he had rose and just went back to heaven and nobody had seen him, there wouldn't be proof of the resurrection in the way that there is today. But I mean, he appeared to so many people, which is kind of what we're talking about today on our podcast. Yeah. It's all of these people, and we're not going to go through all of them because there was way too many, but just these people that he appeared to. And I just think it's so powerful. He loved these people. I mean, he had an earthly relationship with them. These were his friends. people that he ate with, and he counted dear to him. And so, you know, for him to have this moment with Mary, and I want to encourage you, if you are reading this, which I hope you are this week, I hope you're going to read through. Yeah. John is a great place. 13, 14, and 15 is a great place to get that pre-crucifixion storytelling. But truthfully, all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give segments of the story. So I would encourage you, if you're not used to doing that, read the account in every one of the Gospels that it's given in, because you're going to get a, John is going to give you one perspective. Matthew is going to give you a different one. And when you put it all together, you'll you get to paint the full picture of the story. Because these are all eyewitnesses that were there, that were able to speak about it. And so now you're able to hear, okay, wait a minute, this is what was happening. So I think that's really important for all of us. And I would encourage you to read through these stories this week, because you're going to see these people who Jesus appeared to. And obviously, I mean, when he appears to Mary, man, you know, everything changes. So, you know, he's alive. Right. He's no longer dead. I don't have to bring these spices. We're not embalming. We're not making a body smell better. We're not standing here grieving all day long. He's alive.
Right. Yeah. He's alive and he's connecting again. And it's, again, it looks different, but he promised this back in, you know, back in John, he promised that it's better for me to go, because, you know, you have me here physically, but it's going to be better for everybody. And it's going to be continual and eternal, this eternal presence that we will have of Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's better. And so it's different. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to explain to Mary. And he, you know, go tell these people, and it's going to be different, but hey, we'll be fine. And he takes a few days just to appear, like you said, to so many witnesses, for this reason, because there have to be witnesses to the resurrection, or else, and there's still people who deny it. And, you know, we're not going to go into that, but my favorite story, my favorite resurrection story is the Emmaus Road. Are these two little, disciples, that we don't know anything more about, except for one of them, we get their names. But we get that they're just as disturbed and sad and confused, because they've already heard that he's resurrected. Like they're headed back home. They haven't witnessed it personally, but they're just talking and they're traveling back. And these guys, I think they're just funny, because they're just talk. And did you hear this one? Oh yeah. And don't forget that this happened, and don't forget. And they're going back and forth discussing everything. And here comes Jesus just alongside them. And again, it's so similar to the Mary, because they don't get it at first. They don't recognize him.
Right.
They're, you know, and so he's just with his little questions, like we always love Jesus's questions. Hey, what are you guys talking about? You know?
Yep.
And they're like, all the things that have just happened. He's like, what just happened? And they're like, and they literally like, where have you been? Are you the only one on this road that does not know what happened? And, you know, and so.
Yeah, and this is in Luke 24. If you want to write this down and go read it, Luke 24, 13 through 35, amazing story. So keep going, Allison. This is one of my favorites too. So
this is one of my favorites. And so it's one of those things that they're talking, and you know, and he's like, what conversation is holding you as you're walking? Because he knows that they are deep in conversation. And so they go through the whole thing. They go through how he's mighty indeed. They thought that, you know, that this was the guy. They know his power. They know his strength. Yeah. They know who he is. Then he was delivered up to be dead. And then now some women, and I mean, they literally were like, and now some women are saying that he's alive again. And so it's all of these things. But in verse 21, he's talking about he was delivered up, and the chief priests and rulers in verse 20, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. Uh-huh. And then in verse 21, that phrase, and I have said this phrase before, but we had hoped, and we were really hoping that this was the guy. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Mm-hmm. And they go about their, and as they're talking, and this is the whole point that Jesus is trying to get them to. He's like, tell me what's going on. And they're unpacking their disappointment and they're able to verbalize it out loud because Jesus needs them to reveal their disappointment to him, obviously, but also to themselves. But we really hope that he would be the one to redeem Israel, and it didn't happen. He died, but then we're hearing that he raised from the dead, and you know, and so then he started, then he's just like, all right, you little kids, let me start from the beginning,
let me help.
You know, let me help you. And he, again, he's like, didn't he say this was going to happen? Was this not how, you know, if you know the scripture, you know that Christ was going to suffer, you know that all of this was supposed to happen. And so he starts, and then he does, as he always does, he reveals himself through scripture. And I love this verse where he just starts from the beginning, literally starts at Moses. The beginning, and just starts walking them through this long road. They're just walking, walking, walking. It's like 7 mile walk. And he's talking to himself, and he starts revealing himself through scripture to them. And I think it's a beautiful picture of just his physical presence with them, but his script is he's like, you've known this whole time. And let me show you where it's been this whole time, because this is what we need, right?
Right. No, exactly right. Because sometimes we're the lost and confused, and we're the doubters. And we're also sometimes we're the ones who can't see what is obviously right in front of our face.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, these guys had Jesus walking with them. Now, why? I mean, obviously, I'm going to assume that he in his new body, he had somehow it was not revealed to them who he was. So either he looked different, or there was just a doubt. There was just something in their minds that he didn't allow them to recognize him right away. And we don't know what that is, but the bottom line is there is a moment in the story when all of a sudden the lights come on and they're like, oh my word. And they go back to, how he unpacked the scripture to us.
Yeah.
I mean, he connected all the dots for us. He made it all clear. And I think for all of us, this is such a powerful moment, because sometimes all of us, it's blurry. We've all lived in the blurry at times in our Christian walk, when we read our verses, Bible, and we see this and we heard this, but I know what it says. I can't tell you how many women I've had tell me this over the years.
Yeah.
I know what it says.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And then they give me their, but it's not happening, or, but I don't feel it, or, but I don't see it, or whatever. And I think we all are sometimes we walk in that stage where it's blurry, and then we start to doubt and we struggle and we're not really sure, we're confused. And Jesus is just like, let me speak into that for you. And I just think, whoo, what a great moment.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, and you know how much I love to do this sometimes, is find a New Testament passage that really connects to an Old Testament passage.
Sure. That's your thing.
And that's my thing. And so, and when you think about the theophanies of the Old Testament, the places where Christ has appeared in the Old Testament, I think of Jacob, when he's struggling with the angel and he's holding him and he's like, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And I think about all of, you know, the physical presence of him, and they're struggling, and then the angel renames Jacob and calls him Israel. The struggle, it happened with Mary, and it's happened with these guys. They're like, don't go yet. They're holding him fast. They're like, please don't go yet. And
yeah,
because so,
he acts like he's going to keep going, and they're like,
stay. You know, let's keep talking. And he's like, okay, I'll do this one more thing for you. And then through fellowship and through the breaking of the bread, he reveals himself. He's already revealed himself. He's already been there in person. He's already been there, but by revealing himself through scripture and through the word. Through the word of God. And now he's revealing himself through this fellowship, where he's like, no, it's really that intimacy. And that's the same thing he did for Mary. It just reminded me of what the angel of the Lord did with Jacob, is just holding him fast and then revealing himself slowly. And then there's this struggle. I'm like, please don't, I'm going to hold on to you until, and then, but when Christ breaks that bread and their eyes are open, I just think that's beautiful, because he's already been there this whole time. And then that intimacy of, we're at a table and I'm going to bless it and break it, and then I'm going to leave you guys to it because you already have everything you need. And then he disappears and they're like,
which I think is such a moment, because you just wonder, you know, they're sitting around the table, and even though Jesus is not the host, I mean, he's in their home.
He takes over.
But he's actually the one taking taking the responsibility of what a host would have done. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if they're sitting there at the table and they're watching him and there's just something familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's the smile, the way mm-hmm. he breaks the bread. And then all of a sudden he's going to bless the bread. And like, they've seen him do this before. I mean, because so many times in scripture, we see Jesus breaking bread with people and blessing it and breaking it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4. I mean, so many times in scripture, you can repeat the story over and over again. And the Last Supper and so many things. Mm-hmm. And so here he is again, doing this simple act. And yet the disciple, I just wonder when it was like, all of a sudden they're like,
oh,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
The way he breaks it, the way he prayed about, but I mean, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off for them. And I love that because the minute it clicks with him, mm-hmm. he's gone.
Yeah. And the bread's probably spinning on the table, you know?
That would be Allison's version. Yes. You know, suddenly they're blown away and suddenly he's gone again. And now they turn around, which I love. They just got home. And I'm thinking they're grabbing bread and going, let's sprint back because we left a group of people who mm-hmm. were also struggling to believe like we were. And now we got to go back and tell them that what the women are saying is true. Yes. We've seen him. We've walked with him. We broke bread with him for a few seconds and he's real.
Yeah. And they also know they have that, even though everybody has it, they were given that special gift of reminding everybody in scripture where it is. And I feel like that's their job at this point. He appeared to them, but he also is like, okay, people might need to hear this. So y'all are going to do it. They're going to need to be care. A lot of us, and we all do continually need to be reminded of Christ's presence in our lives. And we need to be reminded through scripture. And that's why every day we're to be in the word. That's why Rooted Deep is so important. Not the podcast, the actual being Rooted Deep podcast.
Yes, actually.
But the actual Rooted Deep is so necessary because that's where Christ is revealing himself through to us daily, is through his word and then through that intimate fellowship that he's promised. And that's mm-hmm. what these disciples, I mean, they grabbed the bread and they went back the way they came. And they were probably rehearsing all of everything that he had taught them. And they had been reminded, they're like, okay, yeah. We saw that.
I was going to say there's this amazing little tuck of truth in here that I just mm-hmm. don't want us to miss. We don't have to belabor the point, but I don't want us to miss it because somewhere in the conversation, somewhere in the revealing of who he was before he disappeared, I don't know how it all fell out, but there is a little verse here. And when they got back to Jerusalem, they found they were gathered together, the 11 and those who were with him, saying the Lord has really risen and has mm-hmm. appeared to Simon.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So that would, we're assuming that's Peter because Mark also gives us that verse. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Somewhere in the mix of all this, he not only revealed himself to those that were hurting and those who were doubting, but that those who were doubting themselves and those who were wondering if they could ever be used again, because you know, that had to be Simon Peter. And somewhere in the mix of this, Jesus came to Simon and had this private conversation. And I just think, man, the truths of appearing to Mary, appearing to Simon, appearing to these guys on the road to Emmaus in what seems like a very quick amount of time here on this day of Resurrection Sunday. It tells you so much about who he is and how much he loves and how much he cares. And we're back to that parable. He goes and seeks the one when the 99 are, you know, Jesus is seeking these ones and just saying, hey, don't miss
this. And the details
this.
Of each person. Yeah, correct. It's so to Mary good. When she's serving, and to Simon when he's doubting, and to these guys who, when they're talking it out, so he's going to walk with them and talk it out. The way he ministers to each of us in the way that he's created us in our own special way is, you know, and everybody's experiences. Is the same Jesus and it's the same word of God, but it's just a little bit different because he finds us where we are. And with Mary, it was different from when, you know, all he had to say was Mary's name and she got it. These guys, it took them, you know, 7 mile walk and a snack and a little bit of a few questions. And then they're like, okay, we got it. And so, you know, it's different for everybody, but because he knows us so well and mm-hmm. he loves us so well. So I think that's the intimate connection of that breaking of the bread and the fellowship. And I think that's that we can all experience, and we have all experienced that if we are his children.
And it's been a, as a bi, as we go through this Easter Sunday, in Resurrection Sunday, you've got this whirlwind of a day, that started before dark at the tomb with Mary, and now somewhere on a road as disciples are walking back, probably mid-morning, getting back to their home. And then they turn around and come back, and you've got all of these things happening. And then you get to John chapter 20 and verse 19, and the Bible says that it was evening of that day, the first day of the week. So we know it's Sunday. So we know we're still sitting in Resurrection Sunday. Okay. And when the doors were shut, so these the doors were shut, and the disciples were afraid of the Jews, the Bible tells us in this verse. So they're all in this room and they've got the doors shut and they're kind of staying in there because, again, despite everything that's gone on that day, they're still afraid somebody's going to come get them and crucify them. I mean, you got to know that's still lingering in their minds. They were Christ followers. And look what happens. The Bible says that Jesus came and he stood in their midst and he said, Shalom, peace be with you. And I mean, oh my goodness. Can you only imagine what it must have been like? So you weren't Mary. You heard what happened at the tomb, but you didn't see him. Then you got these guys from Emmaus. They're sprinting back and they've seen him, but you still haven't seen him. Simon has seen him. But you haven't seen him. And here you are, still kind of afraid, wondering what's happening. And suddenly Jesus just appears in the middle of the room. And he said, what is the first words out of his mouth? And that is Shalom. And we don't have time to unpack Shalom, but Shalom is so much more than just peace. It's a wholeness, it's a completeness. It's all tied up in that word. Jesus is like, hey guys, it's good.
It's all good. Yeah,
It's
I
all
took
good.
care of it.
Yeah, I took care of it. It's done. It's finished. It's completed. And man, again, we've asked you, put yourself at the tomb with Mary, put yourself on the road to Emmaus with these guys. Now, put yourself in this room.
You are, and that's the thing. He has stepped into our lives at the moment of salvation. He's like, I've got it. I've done it. You know I've got it. You put your trust and faith in me to do it. Here, this shalom moment in our lives. Philippians 1:6, he who's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. This is not the end. It is the beginning. It is the beginning of that communion together. And again, we go back to that John 17 prayer. And it's not just the it's not the end for the disciples, it's the beginning for them, for their
Yes, it
ministry
is.
that they've been preparing for 3.5 years. They've been moving toward this moment. Now it's like, okay, it's gonna be good, it'll be okay. I'm gonna still be with you for a few more days, but then it's up to you. But then it's the start of where our spiritual journey happens and our spiritual ministry, and our personal and intimate relationship with Christ, started in that moment, to where he said, hey, it's done. I'm here. I'm alive. Now it's up to everything that I've taught you, but I'm gonna be with you, and he's gotta take them, he's gotta prepare them for the moment where he's gone and make sure they're ready for it.
Because it's that John 14 promises that are now being starting to be fulfilled as Jesus shows him his hands and his side. I mean, again, proof. It's like, hey, I'm that I'm st if you're not if you're still not convinced, look at the wounds in my hands and look at the wounds in my feet and look at the where the spear went into my side. I'm the one who was crucified. Now I'm the one, and it's amazing to me, Allison. I don't even know what to even say about this at times, but that Jesus in his resurrection body still bears the scars of the cross. And that he still that he carried for us. And it's proof to these people, and it's a reminder to us that he can be trusted. He can be trusted. And then the Bible says that he in a first phase of several more that would come, Jesus breathes on them and says to receive the Holy Spirit. He's promised them in John 14, the Holy Spirit is coming. He's going to later tell them, stay here until the Holy Spirit comes. But he's like, you know what? I'm not the power that is in me, I'm giving it to you because there's still a job to do. And and so there's this incredible kind of almost foreshadowing. It's just a little bit of what's to get ready to come as Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit to them. And I just think for all of us, he comes to us and he can be trusted. His promises are true. He bear and proof of that is his resurrection and the scars that he still bears in his body for us. And I think for that ought to motivate us. That ought to encourage us. It ought to renew our hearts and our spirits that if Jesus can do these things, he can do them for us.
Right, exactly. And the way he reveals himself, not in physical form, right?
Right.
But through scripture, through fellowship among other believers.
Yeah.
That unity that that we experience when we're worshiping Christ, when we're worshiping God, that unity that we experience in, you know, whether it's a small group where we're two or three are gathered together, that unity is where he continues to reveal himself and his will and his purpose for us. But the through scripture and the kindness of this almost like this slow reveal, instead of just jumping out of the grave and high, you know, climbing to the highest top, you know, the pinnacle of the mountain and saying, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? This slow drip reveal that he does because he knows their carts can't take it. You know, he knows that it's going to be, he has to make it make sense. But even that, even when he reveals his purpose for our lives, and even when he reveals himself through scripture, it is as he wants. It's as this, it's almost like this slow unveiling. We see through the glass darkly, but then we will see face to face. It's one of those things that we just need to be in the word constantly and enjoying his presence daily through prayer, through fellowship, through the scripture. And so then, because why? Because we also have, like the disciples, we have a job to do. And that's what we were talking with about last, you know, the last podcast is because of this crucifixion and resurrection, what will be and what is our response? And the response is not the initial, you know, Peter, I'm just going to go back to going fishing. No, there's more now, you know, and if he had just gone fishing and gone back to that, you know, Pentecost and all of the, and Acts, the entire book of Acts, you know,
would be taken by somebody else.
And, right. You know, it would be taken by somebody else. Right.
Yeah. And you know, and I want to encourage you, man, you know, if you feel like, man, I've done something that disqualified me in some way from following Jesus, man, this is the resurrection Sunday that you ought to say, wait a minute, that's a lie. Because if Jesus can use Peter, if he can use Thomas, if he can use these people who had all of these things, he can use me. And and we need to realize that his, what he did on the cross and what he did in coming out of the tomb overcame anything and everything that you could ever dream of doing. So man, these are lessons that all of us can find ourselves in these stories, whether we find ourselves sitting in the chair of Peter and chair of Thomas, Mary's chair, Emmaus, is the guys walking down the road, wherever you find yourself in the story, usually you can identify with some people in this story, but Jesus ultimately said at the end of, John writes in the end of John chapter 20, all of these things were done so that you might believe.
Right. Exactly.
And I think ultimately, Allison, that's where it sits for us as we come to, you know, as we're approaching Easter Sunday and we're going to sit in our churches and we're going to celebrate the resurrection and we're going to sing the songs. If you ultimately, I think we have to ask ourselves, are we going through motions or do we really believe? And if we really believe, does our life show that we really believe?
Right. Exactly. What is the response? And are we taking that salvation, hiding under a bushel, wrapping in a napkin, throwing it in, you know, digging a hole? Or are we truly responding, you know, for the master and as he's given us, has given us these gifts of, you know, the revelation of scripture and being able to just share with one person, with two people in a group, to a child in Sunday school, to a neighbor who's hurting, or to somebody, a cashier at the, you know, at the Dollar Tree, whatever, wherever you are, you know, just showing that kindness to the least of these because of this great gift and this great opportunity that we have to join in this great commission as he's commanded us to.
No, exactly right. So, you know, as we summarize things that have happened over the last couple of weeks with us, and we started with this lost sheep and understanding that that's who we all are we were all lost and Jesus came to find us. He sought us. He loves us. He cares for us. He died for us. And he rose again that we might have life and that we might have that life, eternal life. Right. And what a powerful thing. And then as we step into that, he equips us. And because of his resurrection power, he's equipped us and he's given us a calling and a commission. And he sent us and he's returning. He's promised, I will come again. And when I do, will you be found faithful? Are we walking worthy of this great sacrifice? Are we walking worthy of what Jesus did for us on the cross? And, you know, for me in my life, I'm so glad I don't have to earn my salvation. I don't have to work for it. I'm so grateful that there's nothing I can do to gain it and there's nothing I can do to lose it. But I will tell you this, I want to hear well done. I want to stand at the end of my life and know that what I did in this earth mattered. In my life mattered, not because of me, but because of what Jesus did in and through me. So I think that's the challenge for us as we sit on this Easter week and we celebrate who and what Jesus is and what he did for us. And it such serves as a powerful reminder and should be a powerful time of reflection and repentance and a check-in to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's done all this for me. Mm-hmm. Now, what does my life look like?
Yeah. What is my response? Exactly. So thank you guys for joining us. We hope that you have a wonderful, blessed Easter week. Easter weekend, and we will just see you on the next podcast. We've got some exciting things coming.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.